It's on, the biggest Maytag sale of the year at Lowe's. Buy two select laundry appliances and get up to a $100 bonus via instant rebate. Shop all things Maytag, including the new stackable Pet Pro laundry system that removes pet hair from clothes. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid through 531. See store for pricing and offer details. Advertise savings on all major Maytag appliances through Maytag.com and participating retailers. Prices may vary. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Tottenham story is this. It's time to change the situation if Tottenham want to change.
I love to win, mate. That's the main thing. Hopefully I can fulfill those dreams and aspirations of every Tottenham supporter.
And still Ricky Villa. What a fantastic run. He scored.
That's going to have a crack. He is, you know. Oh!
I'm loving Big Ange instead. Guess I'm a Spurs fan now then.
Well, greetings, everybody. Welcome to the latest edition of the Tottenham Way podcast. We're recording this on Easter Sunday, so seasonal greetings. Hope you've had a fantastic break. Apologies for not recording something more quickly after Thursday night. Tottenham's season lives on for a few more weeks, at least. That victory against Eintracht Frankfurt, well, it was fantastic. I'm Marcus Parkland. Dan Kilpatrick of the Evening Standard is with me. The two Toms, I mean, they've gone AWOL. Get messages from one of them saying, oh, it's Easter. I know, mate, but we're still here. They'll return at some stage. We'll forgive them. There's a lot going on at the moment. Dan, listen, let's get straight down to it. Here's the crux of the matter. It was a fantastic result. And of course, it keeps the season alive and all the rest of it. I've just read a really interesting article, actually, by Jamie Carragher in one of the papers saying that Spurs now face a potential Ten Hag scenario. So what do we read, first of all, into the manner of that victory at Eintracht Frankfurt on Thursday?
Yeah, Marcus. I haven't seen the Carragher article, but I can understand why that will start coming up. But I do want to be kind of positive today. I think, you know, we've had so many bleak podcasts and I haven't really enjoyed it. You know, it's not been fun covering Spurs or I'm sure following Spurs over the last few weeks and months. And Thursday did just feel like a total change, like a breath of fresh air, like something, you know, a result that could completely change the narrative around the season, immediately changes the feel around Postecoglou, around the club, around the side. And yeah, I think, you know, could be just a hugely important juncture, you know, not just in this season, but in, you know, the kind of last few years of Spurs and kind of general trajectory, I guess, of the club. So, you know, perhaps that's overstating it. Spurs have got to follow it up now at Bodo, or against Bodo in both legs. But yeah, it felt significant. My feeling being there in Frankfurt was it just reminded me of being in Amsterdam in 2019. It really did. Like, where we were sitting in the press box, the view was almost exactly the same as the view at the Amsterdam Arena. Spurs were celebrating in exactly the same corner compared to where I was sitting, kind of raced away to the same corner. They were wearing green. It was a kind of similar feel, you know, celebrating in front of the fans, wild scenes at full time. I know it was a kind of very different type of game, but I mean, in a way, you could say it was kind of similarly improbable to get their result as it was at halftime in Ajax. You know, I certainly wasn't optimistic being in Frankfurt before the game. I wasn't optimistic going into it. And I think Spurs, you know, surprised a lot of people, myself included. So I've forgotten what the question was. I'm sorry.
You've answered it, mate. No, you've answered it very well. Interesting you should make those comparisons and say how similar the occasion was. I just hope we don't end the campaign in the same way with an all-English European final and a non-event of a final. Of course, there is the possibility that we'll face Manchester United, and we should not underestimate Bodo Glimt, as Ange Postecoglou himself knows. They're decent. They beat his Celtic side. I've watched them several times this season, and particularly on their plastic pitch, they're a handful. So the first leg at Tottenham is going to be absolutely critical. But, you know, I agree with you, by the way. I don't want to be unnecessarily negative, and perhaps I ill-advisedly was after the game the other night, because I was just thinking, well, actually Spurs look so much better here, but why haven't we adopted these sorts of tactics before? You know, you're right though. Let's be positive. It's amazing how one game can make such a change. But the Carragher article was simply saying, you know, you look at Manchester United last season, they won the FA Cup final against Manchester City and they went with their heart rather than their head, and they stuck with Ten Hag. rather than making the change. So, you know, okay, maybe I'm going to be negative again. I also, it's interesting, Keith Birkinshaw's last ever game as Tottenham manager was winning the UEFA Cup in 1984. So there are all sorts of interesting parallels that could be drawn. This sort of thing has happened in the past. But are you saying that based on that night, those 90 minutes in Frankfurt, if Spurs continue in a similar manner, that Postecoglou can change the entire narrative and be the manager for seasons to come?
I feel like now is probably not the time to be debating his future, really.
I know why you say that, Dan, but I'm also mindful that one result shouldn't surely change the way we are looking at the bigger picture.
Yeah, look, I think if Tom Warner was here, and he has made this case in the past, you know, he would say you can't let one result, you know, dictate, the whole future. I take it back. I think Postecoglou's future is a live issue. You know, it was the issue going into that game. He had talked about it. We were talking about it. Fans were talking about it. So it was an issue. So I can understand why you're asking the question. I don't think that result in Frankfurt necessarily changes anything. You know, if Spurs go to Bodo and crash out there, you know, I still think, given how difficult the league season has been, you know, he will be in trouble at the end of the campaign. But I do think, you know, and we've discussed this question on the pod before as well, that if Spurs win the Europa League this season, I would find it very, very difficult to imagine that you could sack a manager who had delivered your first trophy in 17 years. I mean, you know, maybe a club like Chelsea or Manchester United, who have both done that in the past. I think Chelsea sacked, obviously, Conte after he won the FA Cup. United sacked Van Gaal, I think, after he won the FA Cup. So there are precedents for clubs doing that, but the Spurs aren't one of those clubs. They don't win stuff. You know, they can't get ideas above their station, and you can't go dismissing a manager who's delivered one of your best moments in 2 decades, or the best moment in 2 decades, as it surely would be if Spurs are triumphant in Bilbao. So, you know, I do think that there's a very clear route for Postecoglou now to earn a second season. I do think inevitably, if that was to happen, there would be parallels with Ten Hag, and David Moyes at West Ham, you know, both of whom kind of prolonged their futures at the club, earned another season by winning something, but then didn't last long. And, you know, that those, I'm sure those conversations, those debates will happen. But look, Postecoglou has massively strengthened his hand. He was really on the back foot going into this game. It was reflected in his rhetoric. He was tetchy. He was defensive, you know, more so than usual, I guess you would say. But, you know, he was on the back foot. And now I would say he's back on the offensive. You know, he's back on the front foot. And, you know, he left the press conference room in Frankfurt with a kind of reminder to his critics that he's going to be around a bit longer, whether they like it or not. And he's absolutely right. You know, that I now do not see a way that he doesn't complete the season, because the Bodo second leg is May 8th. I think the season ends a couple of weeks later. So, you know, he's got the campaign now. He's going to last 2 years, which, as he's also pointed out recently, is longer than most recent Spurs managers. So he's back in a position of relative strength. And, you know, I think obviously we've got Forest coming up tomorrow night, if anyone cares.
No.
And I guess the kind of interesting thing about that now, about Spurs, is that they've kind of shown that they can switch it on for one-off European games. You know, that was another big question. We've talked about it a lot. You know, can you have produced these disastrous performances in the Premier League, but then be much more disciplined, much more committed, much more organised, and all the rest of it for one-off games? Can you kind of switch that on and off? And they showed in Frankfurt that, you know, they can. It was a, you know, much improved and kind of transformed performance, really. Albeit, I would say, I didn't think much of Frankfurt over the two legs. I thought Spurs really deserved to win. I know they're third in the Bundesliga, but I don't think they're a fantastic effort for the Bundesliga, I have to say.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a good point. They've had a very good record at home, in particular in Europe. So to stop them from scoring was quite something. But again, that's why I'm torn here between not trying to appear negative, but also not getting too carried away, because the whole nature of covering football, being a fan. It's either a high, a massive high, or a complete low. And sometimes I think we just need to try and traverse that middle course. But for you then, what made that performance so good? I mean, I can immediately pinpoint a few things. Madison's bravery in winning the penalty. Romero, I thought he was fantastic. You know, when he's good, he's really, really good. Van de Ven, who wanders the pitch like a Goliath with his pace, he was able to snuff out some danger. Solanke, who we've said many times before, fabulous, you know, holding the ball up, not just scoring goals, but of course he took the penalty again. That was something else. I was intrigued with the penalty because you could hear Ange going, "Dom, Dom," when they were wondering who was going to take it. Would it be Tell? Obviously, Madison might have been the first choice, but he was concussed at the time. Son wasn't there. I did wonder whether they'd actually prepared for that eventuality. Udogi, I've got to say also, who, you know, that was a controversial selection for both legs. He went with Udogi ahead of Spence, and I would not have advocated that. But to be fair, Udogi was absolutely fantastic. And they did look such a commanding team, both defensively and going forward. Is that because essentially Ange Ball was neglected, negated? I mean, what was the key for you, Dan? And are you confident that you talk about one-off matches where they've got to do it, you know, certainly three more times now? Do you think they can?
Well, I think the thing the game underlined for me, and we kind of know this already, but it really reaffirmed it, is that Spurs' best 11 is a lot better than the 11 when Postecoglou makes five or six changes, as he's said he will against Forest. You know, the team that beat Wolves, you can make quite a compelling case that actually it was not a huge surprise they lost to Wolves on paper, because, you know, there are a lot of players in there who Postecoglou's either clearly lost trust in. Bissouma is an obvious example, or I think we just know kind of, you know, aren't quite consistent enough or quality enough for where Spurs want to be. But that's not true of the first 11, you know, and I think that was really underlined. I think also I would say that, you know, we know now Postecoglou's preferred team, but he did have two, I think, selection calls against Frankfurt, and he got them both right. You know, one was who to play at fullback, and I don't think we can quibble that Udogi deserved the place over Spence, or justified, not deserved the place necessarily, because Spence has been very good recently, but justified his selection over Spence because he had his best game of the season. And he looks like he's back up to speed now after injury. And I think the other call was obviously who played on the left wing. There were options there. You could have brought Kulusevski in on the right and perhaps moved Johnson over. You could have played Odegaard if he's fit enough. We're not sure about that one. Or Mikey Moore. Or even Richarlison can play from the left. But he went with Tell. And I thought Tell had his best game in a Spurs shirt. You know, I think that is still a relatively low bar because he's not been brilliant. But he made stuff happen. He was lively. He had that shot in the first half that tested the goalkeeper. And I thought he played well. You know, and so Postecoglou got the two calls that were up for debate right, I think. And what made that performance well, you're right, that it wasn't fully Ange Ball-y. I mean, particularly the last 15 minutes, you know, there was inevitably going to be an onslaught from Frankfurt. I thought it was a bit more jittery than some people were kind of giving, were suggesting. I mean, there were more than once, kind of, the ball was just booted up in the air. I mean, I think Bergvall did it at least twice. And Frankfurt had a couple of very presentable chances. But look, on the whole, Spurs were disciplined. They defended well. They were clever when they counterattacked. They ran down the clock pretty well, I thought. I thought if Kulusevski had been sharper, because he looked rusty, Spurs would have got a second goal on the break. He looked a little bit off it, which is understandable. So, you know, it was just much improved. And, you know, obviously there's a perception around Spurs, and it long, long predates Postecoglou, that they're a kind of soft touch. You know, they don't have it in them to produce these kind of performances. And there have been many occasions over the years where, you know, that's been proven wrong. But there haven't been too many under Postecoglou. There have been a couple of scrappy wins this season. You know, Brentford springs to mind. The first leg against Liverpool springs to mind. But that was a really kind of back to the wall rear guard in the last 10-15 minutes. And you know, Postecoglou was pragmatic. He brought on Danso for Johnson, I think, went with five at the back. And you know, so it kind of inverted a lot of the narratives, I think, that we've come to kind of associate with this team and this manager. And that, you know, that's positive for him and for the club. And I think it shows that, you know, that Spurs can go to Bodo and you'd hope they've got a lead in that game. And as you said, it's going to be a really, really tough environment. It's in the Arctic Circle, and it's a trip I'm hugely looking forward to, by the way. I think it's going to be so interesting, but it's on an artificial pitch. If you're not prepared for that challenge, what happens to you is what happened to Mourinho's Roma, and you lose 6-1. So they've got to be ready, but I think they've kind of shown that they can switch on their focus or mentality or whatever you like, and they can play in a sort of committed back-to-the-wall way when they need to.
Yeah. I mean, Bodø/Glimt were absolutely fantastic in their semi-final. I saw the first leg. They won 2-0 against Lazio on that pitch. Really, they should have won by 3 or 4. And I think most people felt they'd probably blown their chance by not getting an even bigger lead. And then to concede the second goal in the dying seconds of the regulation 90 minutes in Rome to go 3 down, so they were heading out of the competition. Then they pull one back and win a pretty nervy penalty shootout against Lazio. That was some effort. So certainly they should not be underestimated. I, by the way, should have mentioned Bergvall when I listed the players who did so well the other night. This guy, oh my goodness, he's come on so quickly, because I think if we think back to the early weeks, months of the season when he was playing, you could see there was a player there, but he had so much to learn. And my goodness, he's learned quickly. I think he's absolutely fantastic. Actually, just on the subject of that late tactical switch, bringing on Danso. I'm going to be honest here, Dan. I did not like that at all at the time. I thought, hang on, you're just inviting trouble onto us now. And if they equalise, then what are you going to do? You've got 3 centre-backs on the pitch. I actually did not think that was the right call. Of course, it doesn't matter in hindsight. But did you share my concerns when you saw that particular substitution?
I know what you mean in terms of inviting pressure, but I think an onslaught from Frankfurt was kind of inevitable. Like, you know, there was no real scenario where they weren't going to throw the kitchen sink at Spurs. You know, they were trailing, they were at home, they were in that atmosphere. You know, perhaps if Spurs were a kind of more confident and assured team at the moment, then, you know, they might have been able to sort of repel that spell of pressure. But I think it felt like it was coming. And you know, we often see that. So I didn't have a huge problem with kind of responding to that. And I think, look, you're right, you know, in saying that it doesn't matter now. I mean, if it had been hairier and they're supposed to concede a lot of chances, you know, perhaps we could talk about whether it was the right call. But I think, you know, in the circumstances, it worked. It paid off. You know, I've kind of got a view that Postecoglou at his best is kind of, you know, the brave Postecoglou. You know, I think that's when it worked. That's when it was really working, you know, when he was just going for it. And you know, I've said before in this pod, I don't mind saying, you know, I think he's somewhere down the line during the injury crisis, he kind of lost something, whether that's his kind of nerve or, you know, he's just been worn down a bit. I don't know. But, you know, I would very much like to see Spurs kind of, you know, set up against Bodo, you know, with the inverted fullbacks and maybe Kulusevski and Maddison at home. You know, maybe Kulusevski and Maddison together in midfield and just really have a go, because I think that's when they're at their best. But I don't have any kind of issue with a more pragmatic showing. And I think the last 18 months to 2 years, it's, you know, what people have consistently called for from Postecoglou. So now that he's done it, it would feel a bit petty to say it wasn't the right thing to do.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. I think it's also fair to say, and he was spot on after the first leg when he said the footballing gods were not with Tottenham. And to a larger degree, they were with Tottenham in the second leg, because Christensen had a couple of great opportunities for Eintracht Frankfurt. But definitely over the course of the two legs, Spurs deserved to make it through to the semi-finals. And it's absolutely fantastic. This horrendous season could yet end in the most fantastic manner. Now, in terms of what's to come before the first leg, you mentioned Nottingham Forest Monday night and then Liverpool away on Sunday. And because of results over the course of this weekend, of course, Liverpool will win the league by beating Tottenham. I think we can live with that. But who's he going to play? What's Ange going to do now in terms of these remaining league games, which of course are irrelevant? But equally, there are players, I think, straight away of Archie Gray. I want to see him, you know, operating in midfield, certainly for a couple of games. There are some opportunities here, are there not, for Postecoglou just to set in motion what might be significant movements come next season?
Yeah, I do think it's a kind of slightly delicate balancing act now for Postecoglou. And I guess the question is, you know, does the result in Frankfurt kind of galvanise everyone, restore confidence and belief and kind of see Spurs pick up in the Premier League? Or does it just reaffirm what I said at the top, that Spurs can just turn it on for one-off games? You know, they know they can do that. They know that they can go to Bodo and host Bodo, you know, with their kind of winners' hats on, and it could just kind of reaffirms that the games before that are kind of waste of time. So I think, you know, it could go either way, couldn't it? I think, you know, he will, in an ideal world, you know, you want people desperate to impress in the Premier League because they're, you know, they're thinking about playing in a Europa League semi-final and hopefully final. So, you know, you look at Udogie, for example, and then perhaps to a lesser extent, you know, Tell. And it perhaps is no surprise that suddenly Doggy's playing like that because, you know, he knows that if he doesn't, Spencer's going to take his place. And I think that, you know, that's a good thing. And you'd like to think, you know, Spencer will probably come back against Forest. It's his former club. I'm sure he'll start that game and he'll have a point to prove and he'll be eyeing the Bodo game and Bilbao. So you want kind of players pushing for their places, but equally, you know, revert to what I said earlier, which is that you're going to make five or six changes to his team. You know, I think Romero is probably due a rest now, although Van de Ven might be the one to drop out again. So, you know, it might be even Danso and Davis at centre half. That's a drop off. Bergvall could play again, but he might be rested. And then Bissouma comes in. That's a massive drop off. So, you know, you look everywhere on the pitch and you think, you know, Spurs are going to lose quality by making these rotations. And then, you know, they're playing a team pushing for the Champions League and who are looking to wrap up the title. So they're not easy games. It's a tricky one. You know, the atmosphere will be interesting on Monday, I think. You know, it could be a kind of bit of a party, couldn't it? I mean,
think it will.
Need something to celebrate. They've got something now. They don't really care. I don't care. The stakes aren't high, are they? So, you know, they can afford to make that into a bit of a, you know, fun Monday night. And, you know, you hope that will sort of translate to the pitch and the players will be a bit freer.
Yeah, there definitely will be a celebratory feel to things. An interesting reception for Nuno, of course. It's amazing how history rewrites itself. Everyone now going, oh, Spurs were so foolish not to give Nuno more of a chance. Come on, I think back to those early weeks of that season. And what he's done at Forest is great, but it's a different club with different requirements and a different style of play will be accepted there that will never be tolerated at Tottenham. So that was a big mistake. He should never have come to the club, but well done to him subsequent to that. Yeah, I think in terms of the players, I'm looking forward, Dan, to seeing it against Nottingham Forest. And honestly, at Liverpool on Sunday, I want us to put out the under eights if we're allowed to do that. Let's just make it abundantly clear that A, Liverpool's title is even more meaningless than it's become, and B, we simply don't care about that and we don't risk any injuries. But you know who I really warmed to on Thursday, and he didn't even get on the pitch, and I was hoping he was going to get an opportunity, and he's had the most miserable couple of years because of injuries. But the way that Richarlison celebrated Spurs' goal and the fact that he's actually been really dynamic from the touchline for a while, I'm just crossing everything, Dan. I mean, I felt a bit stupid, actually, because in the build-up to the match, I said I thought Sonny was going to be our man in Germany. I didn't know that he had a foot injury, and I will ask you whether you know anything about the significance of that. But Richie, okay, he's been plagued by injuries. I would love to see him come strong right at the end of this season. I can see him having a big role to play. So he's got lots going for him. Archie Gray has to surely play in midfield. Dan, I'd like to see Bissouma come back in and do something, but I think it's too late for him. But there are definitely opportunities for two or three players to stake a claim between now and the end of the season, aren't there?
Yeah, I really like Richarlison. He's such a likeable character, and I think he'll start against Forest, to be honest. Postecoglou suggested that in the press conference, so I think we'll see him through the middle, replacing Solanke. Easy to forget, he scored against Wolves, you know, came off the bench and scored. His record this season is pretty good. When he's played, he's tended to score or be a threat. He just hasn't played very much. And, you know, there's obviously huge question marks over whether he's ever going to be fit enough for this style of play, for this manager. That's really in doubt. But when he has been fit enough to play, he's generally done okay. And I think Postecoglou's made that point several times. It could be quite a likeable team on Monday night, I think, because I think Danso's really likeable. He's due a start. He'll probably come back into the 11. Kulusevski's obviously due a start, you know, very popular. As you said, Archie Gray's pushing. Spence will come back in. So, you know, there's actually a lot to like about, you know, a rotated team against Forest, I think. And yeah, just, again, you just hope someone like Gray or, you know, or Danso might give Ange, you know, a decision to make, because I think, you know, Danso looked very, very good before he was injured. He looked really at home in the Premier League. So, yeah, and on Sonny, I don't know a prognosis. It feels very similar to the Kulusevski situation in the way Ange has described it. He said he's been carrying it for a while. He kind of can't play through the pain anymore. We need to rest him. Kulusevski was longer than first anticipated or Ange first said. I kind of fear, based on nothing, just a hunch that, you know, it could be the same for Son. But I think the plan was to kind of give him just a few days off completely and then just see how he reacted to it. So I guess we will know more maybe by the middle of this coming week. And yeah, about his kind of readiness to face Bodo, which is what it's all about, isn't it?
Well, it is. And, you know, I know he's not been the same player, quite the same player as in years gone by. He is Tottenham through and through. And the one thing I will say is that if we do win the Europa League, I just want Sonny to be in the team and to be part of a winning team in Europe as well. So get fit as quickly as you can. The last thing I'll say, Dan, and this is not negativity, but I'm going to just be honest about this. It's fantastic. And when we look back at the season, if you ignore the fact that he's 16th in the league, we got to the semi-finals of one competition, we're in the semi-finals of another competition. We've got a tough draw at Aston Villa in the FA Cup as well. So it hasn't been a complete disaster. But I will stand by what I've said for several months. Even if we win the Europa League, I don't think Ange should stay. I think it would be a fantastic way for him to walk out of North London, stick two fingers up at people like me and go, there you are, mate. I've won something in my second season again. I still don't think that he is the future of the club. And I'm not being negative. I am being absolutely honest. And I won't put you on the line there. But listen, I would love him to win this Europa League. I don't think there are many Spurs. There are no proper Spurs fans before that last game against Frankfurt who are wanting Tottenham to lose simply because of the manager. That's just stupid. And we are all going to unite, you know, behind him between now and the end of the season. And who knows? We spoke about that midwinter. Well, we're emerging into the sunlight, Dan, and potentially we're only a month away from picking up some silverware for the first time since 2008.
Would you go to Bilbao, Marcus?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I mean, what we need really is, who would you, I know we can't get ahead of ourselves. I was going to say, who would you rather face? I was going to say, there's no rooms at the moment because I've been looking into booking a comfortable room. It's a nightmare. But obviously what we need is if United lose, then all the United fans cancel their hotel rooms. All the Bilbao fans presumably don't need hotel rooms.
So, correct, correct.
You know, that's the time to book.
Well, we shouldn't get carried away. This is disastrous. But what I will say is I'll sleep on a park bench if necessary. And in terms of the choice, well, that's a really interesting question because purely in footballing terms, I think we'd rather play Manchester United. We've already beaten them three times, but then I'd have that gut feeling, oh, well, come a final, they'll suddenly find their best form. But I've spoken to my mate, Rob Palmer, who's been a guest on this podcast before now, who's a real expert in terms of La Liga, and he says that Athletic Club are very, very good. He expects them to beat Manchester United over two legs. Then, of course, they'd have home advantage. That potentially would put some pressure on them. And of course, in a European final, there'll be a 50-50 split in terms of the crowd. So it won't be like they're getting all the support.
And I think the last time a team had home advantage in the European final was the year Bayern Munich lost to Chelsea.
Oh, there you go.
You know, the Spurs, I think. I'm not sure if that's happened.
I mean, I don't want it to be another all-English final like the Liverpool game in 2019. I just, even if Atletico are a better club, but you know what? Don't talk like that, Dan, because we're tempting fate.
Sorry.
you really deserve a rap over the knuckles for that. But cheers, Dan. Thank you very much. I know you've got an Easter supper to tuck into. We will find the two Toms. I mean, are they still in Frankfurt? Are they still pissed somewhere?
Well, I've no idea.
Yeah. I mean, we've not heard a word from them since Thursday night. I think they're in a German cell. Hopefully they will be back. And I keep saying this, and they never turn up, but we obviously will return after the Forest game, before the Liverpool match. We'll get some news about Sonny. The boys, of course, will be speaking to Anne. So we had all the inside information, and we're going to get excited. Come on, guys. This is unbelievable. That was Dan Kilpatrick of The Standard. I am Marcus Buckland. As always, come on, you super, 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 super Spurs!